Hi, I'm the Herbs and Spices Kid.
Take it down a notch, Han.
If you leave Star Fox there, he's gonna eat that millennial kiss.
Yeah. Hey, bees, hey, bees, hey, bees.
Yo, beepity poop, bitches, I got it.
And welcome back to Expounded Universe. John, how you doing?
Ooh, baby, I'm so good.
Is there anything you'd like to apologize to the listeners for? Or
I'd like to apologize to the listeners. I'd like to apologize to LMFAO for party rocking.
Oh, yeah. You can't party rock without their express written consent.
Yeah. You need the express written consent of LMFAO and the NFL in order to party rock.
I only have the NFL. Yeah. So this is the wrap-up episode for The Courtship of Princess Leia.
Oh, boy. That Courtship of Princess Leia. That book took a hard turn somewhere along the line.
Well, it did the same thing a lot of these books seem to have been doing to us, which is be boring and wrong for about three quarters of the book and then have a Star Wars story at the end.
Yeah, I can't tell if the writers for this had a really cool story, but the powers that be were like, hey man, you've got to have this be about the main characters. Also, we need to establish this and this and this.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, fine, I guess I'll put all of that in my dumb bullshit story.
Was the powers that be like Powers Booth?
Yes, the powers booth that be.
And he was the one who had to give them the news about how they had to write the book?
Yes.
Listen, you. The important thing is you have to write this Star Wars story the way Lucas wants it, or else I'll be visiting.
Yeah.
And not just you, I'll be visiting your kids.
That's true. Even when he's dead, then you'll get the Phantom Powers booth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't want that shit. That's
you get it. The Phantom Powers booth.
I do, but Jesus. I mean, it's a reference to the Phantom Toll Booth.
And Powers Booth at the same time.
Phantom Toll Booth being not a very well-remembered thing.
Oh, sure. Everyone remembers the Phantom Toll Booth. I never read it, but everyone remembers it.
I have a copy right behind you there. Would you like to read it?
I'd like to burn it. I'd burn it to the ground.
Oh,
fuck you.
No. I mean, the cartoon is actually also spectacular.
You know what also is spectacular?
What's also spectacular?
These titties.
Once again, folks, we've started our new career as shock jock radio hosts. And what that means is that every episode, generally unchanged from the way that we had been for the previous 5 years, but you should know that there is a topless woman in here.
Yeah, there's just some titties out here.
Yeah. Now, she's just standing there. She will not contribute to the show. We're not going to put a mic near her. That's just not part of the deal. But just so you know, there's titties in the room.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Titties in the Room is our new podcast coming to you.
Really good name for a podcast.
At the $10 level, Titties in the Room is coming to you.
Can we do that one like super over-edited, like Radiolab or something?
Oh, yeah.
This is Dr. Jack Skellington, professor of titties. And he's like, hello.
Oh, I was figuring what we would do is we'd go to one of the local strip clubs and do a podcast live from there.
Oh, I like that too.
Titties in the Room, the live podcast from your local strip club.
You can't hear shit.
Oh, yeah. It's just boom, boom, boom,
boom, boom, boom. Yeah, you get that thing that's the problem with actual strip clubs, which is that all the best songs you've ever thought of for stripping are not what they use.
No.
No, they just use some generic, cheap-to-buy hip-hop song.
Hey, I mean, I've gotten a lap dance to Metallica before, so I'm fine with it.
Wait, you've given a lap dance to Metallica before?
A lap dance.
From Metallica before?
From Metallica.
Which member? It was all of them?
All of them. They lined up.
Was it pre the death of their bassist?
Was he no, just... it was post.
Oh, but he was also there.
He was also there.
Just brought the jokes.
Zombie lap dance.
Yeah, good stuff. No, I've not gotten one to Metallica or to anything. I've actually never had a lap dance.
Oh, well, you're missing out.
I'm sure I am. I'm not a huge fan of strip clubs.
Aw, you could have a lady grind up on you.
I don't. I had some bad experiences early on with strip clubs that have kept me out of them for most of my life. Mostly, and here's my actual bad experience. This is a sad story. Being sober.
Yeah, that's the sad experience, being there. Although, honestly, the last time that I was at one and I was completely sober, I was just making friends with the people that work there.
Yeah, that's pretty
much. It was a bachelor party, so there's like 20 drunk guys and me hanging out. And I'm like, hi, I'm the one not drunk guy who's not an asshole. And she was like, oh, thank God.
Yeah, no, I've had that exact same experience where I was at a table with like 13 dudes and one of them did the bottle service thing.
Ugh.
Where he spent like $800 on a bottle of vodka that came with a random assortment of fluids to mix it with. And then, apparently it also comes with two table strippers.
Like, I guess.
Just two girls are also at the table. Two women are here. And, oh, man, it was rough. It was not a good time. It was, for me, I felt very much like I was just watching the machine of extraction.
Yeah.
You just see every little moment of, like, how money is taken out of pockets.
It's great. I love it.
Not my scene. I just never really got into it.
Oh, but well, there you go. That's fine.
Anyhow, sorry about that. I don't know why you're digressing into strip clubs so hard. John, if you had to pick a song to be a good strip club
John,
song.
if you had to pick a strip club to go to,
yeah.
to now record Titties in the Room.
Yeah, if we had to go make Titties in the Room, what strip club should we go to?
I mean, it's obviously Cheetah's.
Just because it's the easiest one to get to from here? Like, there's a nearby Cheetah's?
There is a nearby Cheetah's, and all the rest of them are like, I don't know. They seem...
Well, the other nearest one is one of those full nude, no drink. Because, I don't know, everyone listening to this, maybe not from California, we have our own special strip club rules. You can either have topless and yes drinks, or full nude and no drinks.
Yeah, I feel like that happened in a bunch of places. Like, that happened in Florida, and the Cheetah's that was near where I was got grandfathered in because they were like, oh.
They had grandfathers dancing.
Yeah, they had grandfather's night, and that's where grandfathers only could dance.
We'll lose all our tips if we can't show the packages.
Come on, I need them drunk and ready for the whip.
So the Cheetah's, the other nearby place is one, it's called like a Pure or something, and it is one of those full nude, no drink clubs.
Yeah, and that's garbage.
Those places are depressing.
Yeah.
So... You just don't. Yeah, you're right. Don't. The Cheetahs is probably the right choice.
Yeah, just
do that. For local. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
So there you go. That'll be Titties in the Room. And John, what song would you most like to get a lap dance to? What's your lap dance song of choice? What? Or would you like to perform a lap dance to?
Oh, either?
Yeah, you get both. I'll give you both.
Ooh, I can do both?
Yeah, give me one of each.
All right. Well, obviously, I mean, the one that you want to receive a lap dance to is Genuine's Pony.
Oh, that's pretty good. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, obviously. Mm-hmm. Now, the one that I want to give a lap dance to mm-hmm. is the Aquabats Super Rad.
I do love that song, and it's a nice, you're in, you're out, it's 2 minutes. Are you rubbing up on somebody, or are you just skanking at him real hard?
Just skank at him real hard. Kick him in the junk.
I mean, those are both great answers, so I'm a fan.
Yeah, just like sit in their lap and start skanking while you're in the lap, and then if they try to touch you, just slap them. No touching.
Yeah, that's fair. My answer is going to be the same for both of them. It'll be Fiona Apple's Shadow Boxer, because I want to see if I can get anybody crying during this whole thing, and not because of like the usual reasons a stripper might be crying, but yeah, just because the song is so sad.
I'm going to do John Mayer's Comfortable is what I want to lap dance to.
We're going to do Brick.
Six
a.m. day after Christmas.
God, how good would Sad Strip Night be?
It's all the saddest songs.
Just the saddest fucking songs. Everyone there is like, I don't want a lap dance.
Welcome to Sad Strip Night. You must be at least this much Leonard Cohen to enter.
Oh, my God.
Oh, dude, I don't know how we got there, but I'm glad we did.
Yeah, you're just sitting there getting us like lap dance, and it's just all around me are familiar faces.
Oh, he's so disconnected from the world.
Oh, I don't want to be here for Morrissey night.
It's the slow version of Hallelujah.
God damn, I want this so bad. You know what's way better than Star Wars is this shit that we are talking about right now.
I mean, we do eventually have to talk about the courtship of Princess Leia, but I'm just treating this episode as an afterthought because, let's face it, we didn't get a whole lot of questions.
No, nobody's really sent us a lot of questions, but that's fine.
Maybe the format's off. Maybe people have already asked us all the Star Wars questions that they wanted to know. I mean, we have been doing this for quite a while now. That was like episode 58 or something.
I don't know, man.
We've managed to keep this going.
We've only had like 4 books.
I know, it's only been 4 books, and we're about ready to start a fifth, and you know what, John? We're about ready to announce a fifth.
We are. We're about ready.
Yeah.
But I mean, not right
now. We're going to save it for the end of the episode. So,
yeah, you got to listen to the end. We're going to do it somewhere around 45 minutes in.
Yeah.
And,
so you can try to skip ahead to the end. But you
might miss it.
Yeah, you might miss it. If you get to the very end, it's nothing but Blue Apron commercials as far as the eye can see.
Yeah, sandwiched in between a Blue Apron commercial and one for like Nutribox, you'll get our announcement.
What's your wisdom for me, Grandpa Stripper? I remember when this was all me undies ads. So somewhere in this episode, we're going to suddenly drop the announcement of what's coming up.
Yeah, but it's going to be sudden.
Yeah, it'll be
unexpected.
Unexpected, even to me, because John's probably going to ruin it.
I'm just going to be like,
and it's this thing. So, yeah, the courtship of Princess Leia. It was definitely about three quarters of a book worth of boring, go nowhere, really unpleasant nonsense. And then a fun Star Wars story at the end there.
It's so weird to me that the first third of this book, maybe even the first half, is basically just, let me give you, in text, prime examples why Han and Leia should not be together. I mean, even discounting the whole Hapen mind control gun, they just have an awful, shitty relationship.
I mean, the Hapen mind control gun is nothing more than a tool in this. Like, if Han had not had access to his date rape blaster, then he would have just used some other tool.
I'm sure it would have just been like, oh, I drugged her.
Yeah, I just gave her some random drug. This is just a gun drug.
Yeah.
So, overall, it's just a toxic, horrible relationship.
Oh, yeah. The two of them are just so willing to be emotionally manipulative, as well as being like passive aggressive and actually aggressive.
I mean, okay, so here's a fun thing about this. In the actual Star Wars universe now, because of the sequel movies, we've seen that they did not, in fact, stay together.
Indeed.
They stayed together long enough to have a kid, and then it was Splitsville, and they had nothing to do with each other.
As our friend Claire, who has been on, maybe not this one, but our shows several times.
Sure.
Has said a lot. Ben Solo is definitely the product of the Han and Leia relationship from this book.
It's true.
Like,
yeah,
that's the kind of kid that relationship gives you.
Yeah, he kind of internalized their horrible lifestyle. He's basically the Dermot of Star Wars.
He's just awful.
Yeah.
And it is definitely something where you're like, oh, I get it now. You came from a household where they would not stop fighting, and then they'd be like, you need to go to your room. We're about to have makeup sex. Like, that's the kind of relationship they had.
Yeah, yeah. But at least in that universe, they wisely split up so they could have a little bit of happiness every once in a while. But in the book universe, they forced them together because it's the one thing that Lucas would allow.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the one bit of continuity progressing forward. Luke's never allowed to have a permanent girlfriend.
Not a permanent
I think he
one.
Eventually gets married very, very late in the New Jedi Order. He marries Mara Jade and actually maybe even has a kid.
I don't know.
Well, actually, we know he has a kid.
I know he has a kid.
Because we've talked about his distant distant descendants before in the bonus content.
Yeah.
Yeah. I forget what his name was. It was something ridiculous, though. It was like Hard Rock Skywalker or something. Because remember,
Big
he was
Dick Heaven Skywalker.
Fuck Smell Skywalker.
Oh, Fuck Smell Skywalker.
That sounds like the sequel to Eat, Pray, Love.
Oh, fuck. How much do I want that now? That's going to be the opening episode for Titties in the Room.
Yeah, that's what's playing on the big screen in the background of Sad Night at the strip club. It just makes me think of that. You ever actually listen to the Bloodhound Gang album and not just the one song that everyone knows by the Bloodhound Gang?
Yes.
And it's got that lap dance is better when the stripper is crying song.
Yes.
I'm just mentioning it to mention it. I don't know why.
Why would you do that?
I don't know. Mostly because we have a friend named Russell.
That's true.
And I always think about him at that point.
Name of Russell.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay, so how you doing?
I'm fine. I don't know why.
There's
you
a
just,
chance I ran you, out of steam.
You digressed into nothing. Like, there was a through line happening, and all of a sudden you're like, hey, if I can change the topic real quick, I like plums. We're done. And you're like, okay, good. I'm glad that went nowhere. Thanks.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to talk about the Bloodhound Gang, and it was a terrible thing to talk about.
It really was.
But we've been listening to music by bands that are kind of funny, but not like professional comedian bands all day long.
Kind of funny, but not professional comedian bands.
Yeah, like Don't Stop or We'll Die or LMFAO, where it's like, yeah, this is funny stuff, but it's not parodies exactly.
Well, no, they're just bands that don't take themselves seriously.
Yeah, and I feel like Bloodhound Gang was one of those back in the day, but their humor style was terrible.
I mean, that's true.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say it isn't.
Most Bloodhound Gang songs can be summed up as like, poop. Also a bucket full of semen. Also, there's a golf ball in there.
That's weird.
I know. It's a weird song. That poop in a bucket full of semen by the Bloodhound Gang is...
look it up, folks.
Surprising it won so many Grammys.
So many awards.
It was what led to that guy EGOTing.
Well, I mean, once they made that Bloodhound Gang musical, it was called The Great White Hype, and...
Oh, man. I just remember that movie. So anyway, John, with the Star Wars thing, where are we going from here?
Well, I mean, I figured we would still discuss the book like we normally do until you decided you were done with that.
I'm just going to keep trying these complete nowhere digressions. But speaking of which, John, how are you? What's up?
I'm doing okay. I got a little bit of a sweaty back.
Mm-hmm. It's a little hot in the room.
It's not hot, but it is a little warm.
It is a little warm in the room, and it's a moist day.
And I am a big fat beardo.
And you are a moist dude.
That's not true. I really don't sweat very much. You sweat.
That's true. I sweat like a goddamn pig.
And I've not done it. I've done you it. Leak.
Remember? And it's a thing where I've sweated like ridiculously even since I was a wee skinny rod of a child.
Indeed.
I just have always had big, powerful sweat glands that are enough that the sweat goes off in parabolas back onto me.
Yeah.
Like it comes out like it's being cannon fired. It looks like the entrance to a fun water park.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just flop sweat. Flop sweat everywhere.
Yep.
So John, how are you?
Jesus Christ. I gotta take this podcast away from you. You haven't learned how to be responsible with it, and until you do, you can't have a podcast.
You know what? Let's put a pin in that idea. I love it, but let me just get back to the question of John, how are you?
Oh, Jesus. So as I was saying mm-hmm. before, the dumbest digressions possible.
Yeah.
You have that first third half, which is just awful and about the worst relationship ever.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second half, they get into sort of an adventure.
Yeah, they're on Dathomir. They're running around. They're learning about rancors. Chewbacca is quietly disappearing into the underbrush.
Well, I mean, it's so weird to me because the Luke Isolde adventure is like, oh, this is a Star Wars, like, actual story that you could have just made this into the book.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that it's the courtship of Princess Leia, but Han and Leia's business is awful and then forgotten until the very end.
I mean, let's not let Luke and Isolde off the hook entirely. Theirs is basically the erotic boob ventures of a 19-year-old sex witch.
I mean, you're not entirely wrong.
I mean, there's nothing completely wrong with that. It's fun erotica. If they had gone ahead and leaned into it and been like, yo, this Star Wars book is rated R for tits. As you know, tits
is rated R for erotica.
That would be great.
I'm Darth Rodica.
It's got like,
oh my God, Darth Rodica.
Darth Rodica. Oh my God. I was about ready to complain about the spelling, but Jesus Christ, you just discovered a great new character.
Oh my God. Look, if you're one of the, I don't know, thousands of burlesque shows out there that do Star Wars themed burlesque, if you don't have Darth Rodica in your next show, you fucked up.
Yeah, it's not too late. Get in there, get someone in an emperor robe and then pasties underneath it, and that's your Darth Rodica.
Oh yeah. I mean, obviously it's just going to be someone in black lingerie and a Darth Vader helmet.
Yeah, I guess that's pretty
because
fair.
That's the cheapest, easiest thing you can do.
Yeah, or maybe like they could get the Bane mask from Dark Knight Returns or Dark Knight Rises and just like change the colors of it a little bit. Then they could look like Darth Malgus from that one video game.
See, now I'm just imagining them with the Bane voice, though. So it's fucking everything up for me. It's like, when Gotham is ashes, then you have my permission to see titties.
Take control of my titties, Gotham.
Good Lord.
The titties are in the room.
No one cared who I was until I put on the pasties.
You merely walked into the two-drink minimum.
I was born in it, molded by it. I didn't see a free drink until I was already a man.
Seriously? But anyway, John, how you doing?
This is the loosest, worst episode that's might be the best episode. I'm not even sure. Like, this is going to come out the other side, and either the people listening to this are going to be like, oh man, that was great. I pissed myself, and then I pissed on someone else. Or they're going to come out and be like, that was garbage. Why did you ever do this?
Well, you see, I made one mistake where I decided to digress into nowhere without a shoot. And then I was like, well, now I look foolish. I better lean into it and make people think I did.
Now it has to become a bit, or else I'm just an idiot.
That's exactly what's happening. That's like 90% of my jokes.
Oh, yeah. That's a little performer's trick for all of you. If you ever do something and it makes you look like an idiot, just keep doing it until it becomes a bit and be like, oh, I meant to do this.
Lean in.
You got to lean into the skid or else you're going to lose control.
I'm pretty sure that's more basic and elemental than yes and. Never show defeat.
If you fucked up, no, you didn't. That was on purpose.
Okay, well, let's see. Who were some of the breakout characters from this book? Do we like any of these new people?
I mean, it feels weird with Isolde that half the time he's like, oh, I'm actually like a good guy who wants to do what's best for my people. And, you know, I want to do what's best for like everyone around me. I'm a decent person. And then the other half, he's like a shitty fucking like seventh grader running around snapping people's bra straps.
Yeah, and calling people slime or whatever that conversation was.
Oh, yeah.
The fact that him and Han get so into the time that they told, or that he told Zinj to kiss a Wookiee. He's like, oh, I can't believe you told him to kiss a Wookiee. Did you call him on the phone?
Oh, God. It's
Hi, is your refrigerator running? Yes, it is. I'm Warlord Zinj. Kiss my Wookiee! Click.
Hi, is this Warlord Zinj? Yes. Is your refrigerator running? Yeah. No, it isn't. Lick my balls. Click.
The two of them are so childish through this. I assume because Darth Rodica was busy elsewhere, they weren't allowed to really lean into these two being adult men who don't like each other but both have senses of humor.
Yeah, it's just bad. Like,
yeah.
All romance things in this were very bad.
Yeah, but how would you feel about Tenennial Joe?
I liked Tenennial Joe as far as I could throw her, and that was pretty far.
Yeah, no, she was a light and willowy thing with one cold and husky boob.
One cold, withered tit.
And then we've got Ogwen.
Ogwen was great. Probably the standout new character.
Yeah, she was pretty fantastic.
I mean, my favorite bit character is obviously Gethserion, Palpatine's Jacksonville girlfriend.
Yeah, in terms of characters that are being added to our dumb canon,
yeah,
she's definitely way up there. Gethserion, the judge of a Connecticut-style fish contest.
But I love the concept of Dathomir and the Night Witches as a thing that exists.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically because they didn't have access to space travel.
Yeah.
Because being like, oh, what's this? It's a planet full of Force users. And I go, I hate that in most Star Wars stories because it's always like, what is this? Oh, here's a secret planet full of people who use the Force and they're all super badasses. I'm like, okay, but do they have any transportation off-world? Because then immediately they just go do stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Or they've died out years ago. Like, for example, how the Old Republic has an entire species of people who are good at the Force, so good that they can use it to see because they're all blind.
What was that, the Miralucan?
The Miralucans, yeah. They're the ones who have to wear the headbands because they're all blind, but they're all Jedi. Like, even the ones, if you like, I'm a Miralucan
soldier.
Well,
they're all Force sensitive.
Yeah, bare minimum, they're Force sensitive. They're all dead now because that's just useless or too much to have in the regular
it's
society.
Too much. It's too much.
It's too much.
Too much for these green Force people.
I feel like three or four of the races you could play as in that MMO were completely Force sensitive. Like everyone, like I think true Sith.
And true Sith don't have to be Force sensitive.
And then I think maybe also Miri Allen's, or maybe I'm making someone up. Some guy named Miri Allen. I don't remember.
Maybe you've combined Miri Allen and Miralucan in your head into one thing.
Well, Miri Allen's are the green ones, right?
So, well, what's the Barry Allen's?
Okay, the Barry Allen is the Flash. I don't know if you...
Wait a minute. Yeah. Stop the presses.
Okay,
here.
Let's all stop the presses. Actually, it's very expensive.
All right, turn
to stop
the presses back on.
Hang on. It's super expensive to turn those off and on. Let's make sure before we turn them on or off that there's some relevant detail that you have for me here.
All right, well, Barry Allen is the Flash.
Stop the presses.
Stop those presses. Whoa, hold on. Turn those presses back on, but now our headline is Barry Allen is the Flash.
Okay, it's really important for me. John, I have really serious question now that I've learned that Barry Allen is the Flash. So, you ready?
I'm ready.
How you doing?
Stop the presses!
John, how you doing?
Our new headline is, how you doing?
How you doing, Central City?
How you doing?
I've been watching the fourth season of The Flash the past couple of weeks.
Good.
It is amusingly cheap. It's got the Elongated Man.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. And also The Thinker, who's... I'm not a huge fan of The Thinker. I gotta be honest. I know that they were like saying...
Is he The Thinker? I thought The Thinker was Marvel.
No, he's the thinker. Or the no, Marvel is the mad thinker.
Oh.
Yeah, and also Arcade and what have you. But no, he's just the thinker, this Clifford DeVoe guy. And I hate him because he's just like, that was my plan. Everything that happens was my plan.
Oh, yeah. Well, he leans into it.
Yeah. He's claiming
he knows he knows the rule. Yeah, you got to lean into it, whatever happens.
Honestly, it also kind of ruined the third season of Daredevil. I don't know if you've watched that for me yet.
No, I have not.
For me.
Yeah,
You might have watched it for you.
No. The only reason I would watch it is for you.
Yeah.
In the same way that the only reason I would ever watch Solo is for you, so you could stop spoiling things.
I feel like I could already stop spoiling things because there's nothing left.
There's nothing left. You've described the whole movie to me at this point.
Oh, Jar Jar's in it, though.
It's too late. I've seen it all.
Yeah. So, how you doing?
God damn it. I hate you so much right now. There's a large pit in my heart, and it hates you.
Now, I do want to talk about my personal favorite addition to the canon, which is Tosh.
Uh-huh. Tosh.0
Great. Yeah, what's that guy's actual name?
Daniel Tosh?
Peter Tosh, is that it?
I think it's Daniel.
Toshus Welliver?
I think it's Toshosaurus.
It's definitely Toshosaur, yeah. No, yeah, you're right.
Tosh Yar?
Tosh a Yar 0.0.
Tosh my salad?
Didn't they already do a Tosh 2.0 in the next generation? There was like a more like Romulan version.
Yeah, there
was
a Romulan clone or whatever.
Yeah, I didn't watch enough TNG to really... I'm really much way more of a DS9 guy.
I do like... I mean, I'm going to have to stop you and toot my own dumb horn.
Oh, please. Please do.
But I think Tosh really needs to become a new Ligma because... Tosh my salad is
that's
great.
I mean, my salad feels kind of not as dirty to say as my balls, I guess, but I appreciate it. So how you doing?
Hey Jeff.
Yeah,
Jeff.
Yeah,
how you doing?
John, I'm glad you asked. I've been waiting all night for someone to ask me how I'm doing.
All I ever wanted was for someone to ask me how I am doing.
A-okay, buddy.
Good, thanks.
Thumbs up, soldier.
Jesus fucking Christ.
No, I love Tosh. Tosh the Rancor was a great character because it was like, oh, this Rancor is like intelligent and loyal and devoted to family and so on. That was cool.
Well, yeah, we got Rancors that are so big in this.
Mm-hmm, they're way too big, like 90 feet tall.
They are, I mean, to the point where they tower over AT-STs.
They do. They smack them around like they're playing croquet or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's kind of ridiculous, and I'm not sure if I love it or not.
I know what I love, which is the idea of a Star Wars game that is Rancors playing croquet.
Well, you know what I love?
Mm-hmm.
Is Blue Apron.
Folks. Are you like us where you have trouble making dinner for yourself at home?
Have you ever put pasta into some MeUndies?
Just boiled that for about a half hour and then added glasses from Warby Parker. Thank
there
you.
There you go. I know all of my ads.
I don't know how you know them. What are you listening to that does these?
Fuck you, buddy.
Where is this coming from?
I know everything.
What did you start listening to? Are you listening to like Comedy Bang Bang? What is this?
Oh, you know what I do listen to that's great and I love?
Mm-hmm. Is it audible.com's fine selection of audiobooks? Folks, use the discount
nerd
code.
Items in my mailbox every month through Loot Crate.
Use the discount code fuck ads.
No, I do listen to Dynamic Banter, which is great.
I've never even heard of that. That sounds neat, like a neat name, though.
Oh, it's great. I love them. They're some good boys.
There's some good fella boys.
There are a couple of good boys.
Are they way, way bigger than us?
I mean, I would assume so. They're on HeadGum.
Oh, HeadGum is pretty big.
Yeah.
I think that's, I listen to We Hate Movies on HeadGum.
Yeah.
But I kind of hate listening to We Hate Movies, so.
Yeah, that's why we're starting our new podcast, We Hate Movies.
We Hate Movies, but I love films.
That's our new podcast. We'll be recording that while we're at the strip club.
Yeah, actually, Titties at the Club is a making of featurette about We Hate Movies, but I love films.
Yeah.
It'll be on the DVD.
We've gone.
The special edition.
Real deep, my friend.
That's because there's not much to talk about with Courtship of Princess Leia. Oh, Warlord Zinge looks like a fat baby with an evil mustache. Oh, boy.
An evil mustache.
You straight up, you see a real dude in the world with that kind of, like, blimp captain mustache.
If I see a dude walking around that looks like Warlord Zinj, I assume he's looking to foreclose on someone's family farm.
Exactly. You wonder where his pickle halba helmet is. It's like, oh, man, this guy, the Kaiser is missing his funny spiked helmet.
Oh, the Kaiser.
Oh, someone ought to put him on a roll.
Oh.
Ah. Vaudeville.
Jeff.
Yes, sir.
How you doing?
I get better and better every time any one of us asks any other one of us that question, John.
Damn it. Do we even have questions?
Yeah, we have four questions. Do you want to hear them?
Count them? Four of them.
And that's counting questions that I pulled out of Afterthought questions that had to do with Star Wars.
Oh, sweet.
Would you like to hear some questions?
I would love to hear some questions.
We can go to those now. That's fine with me.
Yeah. What I want to do is I want to go to the questions, and I want you to ask them, and I want us to answer them.
Together? As a team?
No. Individually.
Two individual people answering questions. Okay, sure. Here we go.
I don't want the two of us to talk at the same time and both answer.
Can we try that?
We could.
We have to give the exact as close as possible to the exact same answer while looking each other in the eye.
Oh, yeah. That's the game.
That's the game.
That's
yeah.
the mind.
Well, actually, what's that other game? The one where you each say a word and then you have to look at each other and then you have to say another word and it's until you have to keep doing that until you say the same word. You ever tried that game?
I feel like that game is easily solved by one person just basically saying the same shit over and over
again.
Oh,
you're not allowed to. You have to say a different word every time.
You can't ever repeat?
Yeah, no repeating allowed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so you basically the idea isn't that anyone gets to a target word, but rather that you bring each other around to one word that you both are willing to say at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah. They played it on Comedy Bang Bang a lot, like way back in the day, back when they still played games on that.
Uh-huh.
And it was one of my favorites that they did, because it seems like it's actually a lot of fun to try to pull off.
Oh, great.
But anyhow, questions, John. Questions that need answering.
Questions about Spider-Man.
Questions about Spider-Man. Someone ought to put him on a roll. First question comes to us from NGDBSS, who says, on a recent Expounded Universe episode, you reminded me that Alec Guinness had a stick up his butt about the whole Star Wars franchise and how it didn't fit his highbrow standards. Despite the fact that he ended up starring in several Ealing Studios comedies with a bunch of low humor, most especially Kind Hearts and Coronets. In the last black comedy, Mr. Guinness wasn't the protagonist, but instead nine different snobby nobles in line for a dukedom who mostly get killed by a disowned distant relative. So to hoist him on his own petard, how would you two remake Kind Hearts and Coronets within the context of Star Wars? Have you ever seen Kind Hearts and Coronets?
No.
Okay. Basically, it's what he describes. The movie's from the 70s, so it's got your standard charmingly deep-voiced main character who barely matters. The only thing who really matters is Alec Guinness as nine snobby jerks.
Okay.
Who are all kind of needling each other and fighting and plotting assassinations and stuff over a local dukedom.
Okay, well, that obviously just becomes Alec Guinness's nine different people trying to get a moffdom.
How about all of them are Force Ghosts of Obi-Wan?
Different Force Ghosts of Obi-Wan at different points in time in his life.
Yeah, one of them is Alec Guinness. One of them is what's-his-face who played him in the other movie, Ewan McGregor. Thank you. Thank you for your
You're
help.
You're welcome.
For looking me in the eye and helping me get to that point.
Yeah.
Whoever played him in the Clone Wars cartoon, and also he's there as that.
Yeah.
And any other time he has shown up, like one of them is just like his shape in the Star Wars serial.
There you go.
Yeah, there's an action figure one.
Yeah, we just have those.
Yeah, I would prefer to do this with Ewok chiefs. It's Kind Hearts and nine different.
Alec Guinness is nine different Ewoks.
No, he's not in it at all. It's just nine low grays. The Ewok chief, and he's different types of Ewoks, and all of them have to figure out a way to get a free ride on Noah's spaceship.
Free ride.
Yeah, they do. They all want Noah to play Freebird. Which
take it easy. It's not Free Bird. It's Free Ride, piece of shit.
It's Slow Ride, you piece of shit.
It's Free Ride, the combination of Slow Ride and Free Bird.
I'm sorry. I think you might be thinking about the song Slow Bird.
I think I might be thinking, Jeff, how are you?
I'm peaked, and I'm a little peaked.
Oh, I'm peaky. I'm Peaky Blinders.
What was that show about? Horses?
What is this show about? Horses? They keep looking around the blinders?
I think it was about like British gangs. Is that right? I don't remember.
Some kind of Irishman?
Some kind of Irishman. Is that sounds right to me. Maybe they were like penny whistle players or...
Yes, penny whistle players.
Leprechauns, whatever other...
And now the penny whistle players.
Someone ought to put that Kaiser on a roll. Hey! I feel like we'd be pretty good at playing that game.
I feel like
that game we talked about earlier.
Oh, yeah.
But also, we just had an uncomfortable silence. So if I may, John, how you doing?
Hold on. Same word, same time.
You want to try that?
3, 2, 1. Titties.
How? Okay. All right. So we have titties and how at the moment.
3, 2, 1. Boobs.
Ooh. Oh, in two. In two.
We're there, baby.
Eat
We're
it,
in
Scott
sync.
Aukerman.
Eat me.
Bring it, the Choctaw. So anyway, yeah, that's how we do that. Next question?
Sure.
All right.
Also, the reason Alec Guinness was all upset is because it's all anyone knew him for.
Yeah, it's all he was famous for the rest of his life.
He'll come up and be like, ooh, Obi-Wan. He's like, you motherfucker. I have had the most distinguished career as a thespian. Fuck you, you asshole.
Yeah, but did you have it in England?
Maybe.
Well, no one gives a shit outside of England, yeah. Obi-Wan.
Yeah, well, also, everyone in England comes up and like, oi, mate, it's Obi-Wan. Give us a smile, eh? Rub me hat for good luck before I go on me chimney sweeps there, Obi.
Use the force, I will swear on me mum.
Eh?
Oh, okay, the next question comes
fucking
to us from
British people.
Just giving the people what they want.
That's for you.
Being mean to the British.
Yeah. And then that chimney sweep was like, oi, where's me mom? And then a dog comes out and bites his dick.
And then after his dick's been bit, they have a thoughtful talk about donkeys.
There's our bits, folks.
There they are. Hot dog question. Next question comes to us from our vengeful lobster, who says, John, how you doing?
God damn it. I can't believe you got me on that.
John was trying to look at his notes or something.
You son of a bitch.
Our vengeful lobster who asks, if Disney or Lucasfilm decide to do a sequel to From a Certain Point of View, and you're familiar with that, right?
Yes.
Okay. Folks, if you aren't, it's a recent book that's basically a whole bunch of stuff from the first Star Wars movie, just from Star Wars New Hope, told from the point of view of minor characters in the background of it. It's even got some bits by the McElroys in it.
Yeah.
And a McLemore bit as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's got some bits from the McElroys. Nothing about the movie. They just put some McElroy bits in there.
It's just them begging to be in Troll 2. I'm sorry. We want to be in Troll 2. They want to be in Trolls 2.
Yeah. The lesser film.
I don't know why they're not shooting for the gold. But once again, just as a reminder to everybody, put Jeff and John in Troll 2.
Troll 2.
Troll 2. That's all we want.
We want to be in Troll 2.
Yeah. Put System Mastery in Troll 2. Let's make this very clear. Hashtag it. Tweet it. Make everyone in the world know about it. Put it on your Instagram feeds. System Mastery in Troll 2. Thank you.
Put it on your Instagram feeds.
Yeah. Next to a picture of a random gym-looking hot lady in sweatpants.
Hell yeah.
That's what I assume is on Instagram.
Oh, all Instagram is pictures of cats and dogs and fat butts.
It's fat butts, pictures of cats or dogs, and celebrities' food.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. Have you ever seen that? I know this is a complete digression, but have you ever seen the tweet where Ice-T is like at Denny's?
No, but hey, have you ever had someone ask you, hey, how you doing?
No, it's amazing how little that happens to me, and it makes me so happy that you asked.
Oh, but, I didn't. I just wanted to know if anyone had asked you.
Now I'm sad again. But no, there was this great tweet line where Ice-T was tweeting out like, oh yeah, bitches, I'm at Denny's. This is fucking great. And his basic tweet was, oh shit, I can buy things off the senior menu. What a discount. And the response to him was some guy going like, T, you're a millionaire. What the fuck you doing at Denny's? His response was, oh shit, do they have some kind of millionaire eggs I've never heard of? This shit's good.
You know what I like?
Hmm?
I like that we've done a long digression in the middle of a question. Not even finished asking the question yet.
You're right, John. I'm sorry. But you know what? Before I get back to
Don't
the question.
You dare.
I'm sorry. Here we go. From a certain point of view, based on Empire Strikes Back instead of New Hope, and they asked you guys to contribute, what would your pitch for a story be? What bizarre trivia would you try to work in? What background character would you give a heart-rending backstory? So you need to pick a character from Empire Strikes Back to give, to say you'd be writing a story about and tell us what it would be.
Okay.
Sure.
That's easy enough, because, mm-hmm. I mean, you can have things like, well, the problem is I feel like most of the things you'd want to do have already been done. So like any of the other bounty hunters or
oh, yeah.
Like
well, the
that.
Bounty hunters are definitely taken. I feel like the easy one for me would be Wilrow Hood. I don't know if you know who Wilrow Hood is.
Oh, of course I know who Wilrow Hood is.
Really? Well, please do tell. Who's Will? Please tell me about the three customary blessings of Old Ween, John.
Wilrow Hood. He's the man who steals from the rich and gives to the Ewoks.
It's Willow Hood, a combination of a peck and Robin Hood.
No, is Willow Hood the guy with the ice cream machine?
Ding, got it in two.
Bam!
Willow Hood,
that's
ice
what
cream,
I assumed.
Yeah, Willow Hood is ice cream machine guy.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's a good story about how he's escaping Cloud City with the all-important Bespin data core or whatever that thing's supposed to be.
Hell yeah.
Although, if I was writing from a certain point of view, it would just be an ice cream machine again. It would just be him. He fell in love years ago with the galaxy's only intelligent ice cream machine.
Oh, I thought you were going to say he fell in love with the ice cream from this machine. He was like, this is the best ice cream I've ever had.
Ooh,
and as soon as it was getting taken over, he's like, I need to save this machine that makes the best ice cream.
It's like the Rumpelstiltskin of ice cream machines.
It's so straw and a delicious strawberry.
And you have to say its name three times to make it stop or whatever. No, I think you just have to guess its name.
Yeah, you had to guess its name.
Yeah, it's not Beetlejuice. What am I talking?
You know,
we can make it disappear.
Beetle Stiltskin, that lovely combination.
Also, it's from the fifth dimension, and the only way you can banish it back is to get to say Beetle Stiltskin backwards.
You know what I would do? Is I would definitely do one of the Emperor's personal guard, the guys in red.
Yeah, those guys are cool.
Just one of them that was on the ship with Palpatine while they were flying to the new Death Star, and be like, what does that guy do while he's flying around the Emperor? Like, what's his day like?
I assume he's just like those British guards that have to stand in front. What do they call those guys?
The beef eaters?
Yeah, the beef eaters who have to stand there perfectly still all day, and they're basically a tourist attraction.
Yeah, but what are those guys thinking? Like, what's going through their head while they're standing there?
Yeah,
how much are they thinking about, like, God, I can't wait to get home and watch the Great British Bake Off?
Every one of them, you go close enough into their head, they're thinking, John, how you doing?
Every last one of them. Except for one. There's one, and he's thinking, hey, Jeff, how you doing?
Shit, that guy. So maybe we could just do it on the Emperor, because, I mean, he's in A New Hope a little. I don't remember. Is he even in A New Hope? Do we even see his head, like, once?
Yeah. Okay, we get the, like,
the giant head of him or
the
whatever.
Giant head transmission.
That's right. Okay, but the Emperor really doesn't show up in person until Empire, and, you know, you and I both have kind of developed a great appreciation for the Emperor that we believe in.
Yes.
You know, more Sheev than Palpatine, so to speak.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you could always do it from the certain point of view of after they have a conversation, does Palpatine and Vader,
yeah.
Then it just cuts to Palpatine on the other line and you just figure out what he's doing with his day.
Literally shitting. Like, he's
just on the shitter.
Yeah.
Ah. Shitter's broke.
Thought he'd never stop talking. All right, time for some grunts. Reading one of those big books of bathroom trivia.
Huh, what do you know?
32 teeth. Never would have figured that out.
Huh. Ithorian can shoot his dick up to 9 feet.
Wow. But only that far if it's going to land in sand. Fascinating.
That's great.
Yeah. I mean, I might do it on the Emperor just straight up, because I would like to see something done from his point of view, especially his goofball point of view.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah. There you go. It's the Emperor and the Emperor's personal guard and Willow Hood.
The Emperor's personal guard just being like, why do we even have that lever?
Why am I in a red outfit? This makes me so conspicuous. I look like a traffic cone.
What is the point of this?
What do I do? Anyone who could get to the Emperor is going to have to fight the Emperor. I am pointless.
Yeah, but you see that Snoke?
Yeah, it's true. The Snoke dudes were rad and good fighters.
Yeah, they were rad dudes. We don't know about what kind of dudes the Emperor's guards were.
No. Because
we never got to see him fight.
No, we never get to see him throw down and be all cool in their rad helmets and stuff.
I know.
So who knows? It's a mystery that could only be solved through a From a Certain Point of View book written
that
by
rewrites
John.
History.
Yeah, and solves a mystery. So, Lucasfilm, come to us, and we'll write one of those for you.
Yeah,
no problem.
Totally.
Provided, of course, you got to play ball with us, Lucasfilm. You help us get into Troll 2. How you doing?
Yep. Yep.
Oops. Everyone was quiet for a second.
Oops. Oops. All awkward silence.
So, how about the next question, though, John?
Yep.
All right. This next one comes to us from a freaky mutant man.
Good. I love Freaky Mutant Man.
And Freaky Mutant Man says, as the first half of the book demonstrates, Han and Leia, at least as portrayed in this book, are not a good fit for each other. So who would be? Which characters do these versions of Han and Leia deserve to end up with instead?
Han really shouldn't be in a relationship, period. In my very clear opinion here. Han needs to do some work on himself before he gets into a relationship with someone else.
He's pretty much just in a relationship with the Falcon.
He has a lot of baggage.
In the Falcon. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're on the same page.
And he really needs to, I mean, especially given that he's a package deal with the Falcon and the Wookiee,
mm-hmm.
like, you've got to find someone that's okay with that, that isn't a huge space racist.
Or maybe just lean into it. Like it's a Wookiee who's a huge space racist.
That's who he gets a relationship with?
Yeah, with Mala. Like, they just finally...
They become a polycule?
Yeah, they become a polycule the way that they've always needed to be in the first place.
Just Chewbacca, like, goes up to Lumpy and he's like, this is your new dad now.
You're going to see a lot more of Uncle Han around. And you're going to hear more weird, disturbed grunting coming from the kitchen than usual. And the usual amount is a lot, so...
I mean, I was going to say, I think Leia should probably be with a Wookiee.
Leia should hook up with a Wookiee.
That's what I think.
You mean Chewbacca or just any Wookiee?
No, any Wookiee.
Any Wookiee will do.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want her to hook up with Chewbacca because then that adds even more weird baggage with Han being there.
Everyone should just fuck.
So what I'm saying is the entire galaxy is an interconnected polycule.
I don't even want them to. I don't want poly relationship nonsense. They should just fuck it out.
It's just fucking.
Yeah, they should just fuck it out and they'll all feel a whole lot better when they do.
Star Wars Episode 9, it's just fucking.
Star Wars Episode 9, pound it out. Oh, man. So, yeah, okay. But let's see. Who would I actually want Han to hook up with that's an established character?
I mean,
oh, Dash Rendar, obviously.
Oh, obviously. Yeah, it's Mon Mothma.
Mon Mothma and Han Solo together at last.
What I want Han to hook up with is Manny Bothans.
Oh, that's pretty good, too. Like a guy named Manny Bothans.
No, just Manny Bothans.
Oh, just a wide variety of Bothans.
Hot group sex
with a bunch
Manny
of
Bothans.
Horse dogs.
Yeah, all of these weird horse cat dogs.
Yeah. That keep changing appearance depending on who's drawing them.
Ugh.
And then many of them die. During the sex.
Oh, yeah. Manny Bothans died to bring you this.
This orgasm. This Bothans laying orgasm.
Ugh.
Most of them were in Y-Wings.
Y-Wings is, of course, a sex move.
Yes, and?
I put them in the Y-Wing. Oh, really? I got mine in the X-Wing. The S-foils are out, baby.
Mine's in the B wing, and that B doesn't even stand for what you think it does.
Barry Bostwick?
Yes, it stands for Barry Bostwick.
Oh, no, that's what it doesn't stand for.
Oh, shoot,
because
right.
That's what I think it stands for.
It just stands for butt.
On the butt wing.
Star Wars Episode 9, it just stands for butt.
Jesus Christ.
How you doing? yeah, but Leia, I the thing is, I kind of want to just match him with people who are their kind of bad so they can see them in the mirror. So I want Han and Dash, and I want Leia, and no one is Leia's particular brand of awful in Star Wars.
Not really. And I mean, if we're going off of movie Leia,
mm-hmm.
who she should end up with, it's no one that's a main character in the movies. Maybe Wedge.
Probably,
I want to have Leia and Wedge.
Yeah, Biggs Darklighter. He'll jump on that grenade.
Like, book Leia should, honestly, again, not date.
Yeah.
Just don't date.
You don't want her seeing being rewarded for that kind of behavior.
No.
No, book Leia should have just stuck to her guns, dumped Han, married Isolde, and cemented the union. If she's going to act like a princess all the time, even though she is literally just the daughter of a senator, adopted daughter of a senator, then she should at least do the job.
No, I think that's 100% accurate. If Leia in the books should just end up with Isolde and be like, fuck it, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And we did not marry for love. We married for political convenience.
Yeah, and then he picks up Tenennial as a side piece and everyone's happy with it.
And no one cares.
Yeah, no one cares at all.
Leia gets a whole bunch of Hapen side pieces and everyone's like,
she
sure.
hooks up with Ta Chume. Because they're both just sort of mean and demanding.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, they just have angry hate sex.
Angry. The only kind of sex that's legal on Hapes, I'm pretty sure. They send around an inspector to check the angry level during his...
my angry levels aren't exactly high here.
Everyone in here is fat and ugly. There we go. Okay.
Ooh, okay.
That's good.
Back to business, as you were.
Have fun, kids. Here's one of those flower rattles or whatever.
Flower rattles.
Hey, I remembered something from the book.
Oh, you did.
I want a cookie.
Dude, I want a cookie.
Let's get cookies.
Dude, fuck this podcast.
We just got to do one more question, and then we can fuck this podcast.
Hey, man. What strip club has cookies?
What strip? I don't have any money, John.
Is it Wendy's?
I'm not going to a strip club with you. I know you still have a reasonable chunk of a 4,000. So.
Oh, I got dollars that I could spend.
Yeah,
believe you me, so, I could go into the champagne room and not have anything happen.
If you want to head to a strip club, it's fine, but you're footing the bill. Huh? You're getting me my first lap dance, and it's got to be from you, and it's got to be to
Super Rad. Just go up to the DJ and slip him 100 and be like, I need you to play Super Rad.
You're going to have to bring him the CD. Here's the return of the Aquabats. Start at track one.
Just press play. Thank you.
I can't remember if that's on Return or Fury. I think
that's
it's
on Fury.
It's on Fury. Okay, yeah. We'll just bring them both. And also versus the Floating Eye of Death.
You know what? Fuck it. We're just going to bring the whole discography.
All the Aquabats, and it's going to be Aquabats night at the club.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right, lady. Shake them to Cool Pool Party.
So, last question.
Question. It comes to us from Tinvi. Or Tinve, or
Tinai.
Tin, it's T-I-N-V-E, John. There's no way it's Tinai. But Tinva wants to say, hi, Jeff and John. I've been listening to your podcast.
How are you?
How are you? Hi, Jeff and John. I've been listening to your podcast since Shadows of the Empire. You guys are amazing. Any plans on choosing a book from a different era, such as the prequels or the Old Republic, or even a canon novel? I'm getting kind of tired of Han and Leia.
Well, it's interesting that you ask that, because I think we are.
I think that's true. I think we might very well be prepared to announce the next book at this time. All we have to do before we can do it is do a little drum roll. And the next book is going to be... Folks, have you considered stamps.com?
Folks,
are you like me? You hate waiting in line at the post office, and instead you'd like to sign up for an unnecessarily arcane and complicated subscription service that's virtually impossible to cancel and charges you like $40 a month to do fuck nothing.
Do you wistfully remember the days of Columbia House and being charged a shitload and not being able to cancel your membership? Try stamps.com.
Stamps.com. We, the opposite, have endorsed them.
Anyway, the book is, Red Harvest?
Red Harvest is going to be the next book. It's kind of a joke because of Blue Harvest being the code name for the original original movie, but Red Harvest is actually a prequel to another book, which I have already purchased as well because I'm an idiot.
Oh, good.
But Red Harvest is set about 3,600 or 3,700 years before Han and Leia.
Ooh,
so there's
yeah.
very low chance of a character named Han or Leia showing up in the book.
There might be a Solo. There might be a Skywalker. We don't know.
That would be very unusual if there were, but you never know. It could happen.
With the expanded universe novels, you never know when they're going to be like, this is 4,000 years ago, and also a Blick Skywalker.
Blick Skywalker. He wants to sell you discount art supplies.
Oh, yeah, I'm Blick Skywalker.
Come on down to Blick's to pick up some discount art supplies here at Blick Skywalkers.
Skywalkers, where you go for discount art supplies?
No more trusted name in the business than Skywalker. Smolo? Those guys are bums.
Come on down to Smolo's Polos. We've got the finest polos in this galaxy.
And some terrible art supplies.
Well, yeah, but we don't sell those. It's mostly polos.
But some art supplies.
And retail art supplies. No discount.
What the hell happened here?
I don't know.
Also, Chewbacca's Tapas.
Chewbacca's Tapas.
Yeah, that's the restaurant that separates the two of them. And boy, they get in some wacky scrapes, let me tell you.
Those guys.
I've got the back of the book here for Red Harvest, John. I'm going to read it just so people can get an idea of what's about to happen. And also so you can get an idea of what's about to happen, because I more or less made this decision on my own.
I know.
I reached out to you for confirmation, but you were just going, eh, I don't care.
You reached out to me for confirmation on the book. I said yes, and then you said, no, I'm doing a different one. That is 100% accurate.
But I did buy the book. I asked you for permission to buy. So, hey, I did do what I said I would do. And then later I decided that also we were going to do a different book.
Due diligence.
Mostly because when I flipped through the book I bought in the first place, it had Han and Chewbacca in it. And I was like, no, pass. We're good on them
no,
for now.
No.
We need a break. We're on a break.
We were on a break.
So here's the back of the book. A careful and effective mix of gothic horror, survival thriller, and Star Wars, according to the review outlet Big Shiny Robot. Unlike other young Jedi sidelined to the agricultural corps, those whose abilities had not proved up to snuff, Hestizo Trace possesses one extraordinary force talent, a gift with plants. Like, I feel like I need a record
Why
scratch.
Why are you Rob Schneidering this book?
Because I feel like it needed a record scratch right there. Trace possesses the extraordinary But suddenly, her quiet existence among greenhouse and garden specimens is violently destroyed by the arrival of an emissary from Darth Scabrous, a Sith Lord with a fanatical dream poised to become nightmarish reality. For the rare black orchid that Hestizo has nurtured and bonded with is the final ingredient in an ancient Sith formula, crucial to the Dark Lord's obsession. But with consequences far worse than fatal. Now, spawned by a heretofore unknown virus, the rotting, ravenous dead are rising, driven by a bloodthirsty hunger for all things living, and commanded by a Sith master who lusts for power and the ultimate prize, immortality, no matter the cost.
Huh.
So, it's Star Wars Zombies.
That's weird.
So yeah, I don't know. There's apparently two Star Wars Zombies books. The other one's called Death Troopers.
I'm fine with that, honestly.
Yeah. So, I mean, I assume high body counts, probably not a lot of characters we've ever heard of because they're going to kill them.
Oh, yeah, obviously.
But definitely a lot of Darth Scabrous business, which is pretty
good.
Great.
I can't wait for him to lead some Bane Knights into battle.
Yeah, his name is not great, is it?
No.
Scabrous is kind of a sad name. Darth Rodica would have been way better here.
Oh, Darth Rodica, coming for that black orchid.
Yeah, and his Padawan Darth Ashfiction, I guess just Ashfic. So yeah.
I mean, Darth Slash sounds like it would be a Darth name, but then he'd be like, not what you think.
Darth Slash, the one that's gay sex pairings.
Gay sex parries?
Gay sex parries. It's gay sex between guys named Perry.
Yeah, Perry Mason.
Yeah, and Perry Como in the erotic adventure that they both only ever dared to dream of.
Yes. Double Perry Tretion.
Gross. Oh, thank you, John. I love the idea. I don't want to think about it, though. So that's what's coming up. Star Wars Zombies.
Yeah, we're getting them mobos. I know that pop culture has definitely not had enough zombies up to this point.
It's true. I got to assume, I didn't check specifically, but I can check right now to find out when this thing was written so I can see at what point in the Star Wars history we started discussing Star Wars Zombies. And it looks like it was 2012.
2012.
Man, that's a super jump for us. I feel like the most recent book we've done till now is 96.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so. 96 or 97. We have yet to leave the 90s.
Huh.
Pretty much, it's been 94, 95, and 96 is all we've done so far.
Well, good.
But here we go, jumping way the shit ahead to 2012. So
I don't know.
I don't know if we're ready.
I don't
Maybe
know
we should run
that.
Back to the 90s and hide.
That's what our podcast generally does.
Yeah, if we're unsure, we either retreat to the 90s or we see how John's doing.
Let's check in with Jeff real quick.
Ooh, I sure hope someone asked me how I'm doing.
So, Jeff.
Yeah.
I'm glad we're doing this book. Zombies sounds nice. Mm-hmm. And I hope that our listeners will enjoy it. I hope I will enjoy it.
I think so. I did try to pick something that was both kind of, even though we won't actually get an episode of this out in October, as far as I'm aware.
But we can at least announce the spookiness.
We can announce the spooks, and also we can.
Oh, actually, no, we will.
We will have one episode?
One episode of this, the first episode out.
Oh, good. Well, there you go. So this
will come out on like the 30th.
Yeah, this is going to be our big Halloween spectacular, the first chapters of a Star Wars zombie novel.
Yeah, that'll come out like the day before Halloween.
I'm really worried that people are going to start writing us in and letting us know that these books are actually really fucking good.
You know,
what are we going to do?
Every time we read one of these books, someone lets us know that they really liked this when they were a kid.
Yeah.
And then we start reading it and they're like, oh no.
Oh, shoot.
Oh no. I was a dumb idiot child and I read these.
They go all webcomic name on us and they're like, oh no. Yeah. Okay. But no, I'm not that worried about it, but I feel like by 2012, the formula was a little more developed. So I'm really kind of hoping to find some crap gold here. And hey, if you want to find some crap gold, why don't you head on down to the System Mastery Patreon and support us at the $2 level to unlock our Expounded Universe bonuses.
Ooh, yeah. $2 unlocks every single weekly bonus content we do.
That's
so
true.
Much
yeah.
Fucking content.
It's only right there on the Crap Gold, which I think is a Beck album.
Yeah, the Crap Gold.
No. $2 will unlock all of our bonus content for Expounded Universe and all of our bonus content for System Mastery. Why, at that point, you're only a couple of bucks away from the maximum amount of unlocking you can do at $5 when you get our afterthoughts as well.
Oh, yeah. You get that monthly afterthought. Now, at the $10 level, you get Titties in a Room, our new podcast that we are definitely doing.
Are you doing that to float and see if there's actually any interest? Are you trying to go to a monthly?
Are you trying my patience?
Are you trying to get our listeners to fund your strip club enjoyment? I bet they would if we straight up just created that.
I bet they would just put
that on the Patreon as a tier.
A tier. Have John go to a strip club and record the experience.
I don't know if titties at the club is going to fly, but let's find out.
It's titties in the room.
Titties in the room.
Get it right or pay the price.
I apologize. It's still nascent. It's still developing. You know I'll be there for you when it's off the ground.
Just like them titties.
I like my titties on the ground. I don't know what you're talking about. Sticking up out of the ground like little mountains.
I want titty diglets is what I'm trying to tell you right now.
I want a trio of tit diglets. A trio of tit diglets is
what is that? Dig Drio?
Doug Trio, I think, is
Doug. Doug Funny? Yeah. What is that? Doug Funny?
Doug Funny is one of the worst Pokemon. First of all he evolves into is Quail Man.
Hey, and Jack Bandit. <Wa-na-na>! Jack Bandit. Yeah,
but you need a mayonnaise stone to fuse them that way. Honk, honk.
Honk. Honk.
Patreon.com/System Mastery.
Honkhonk.com/System Mastery.
Come on down to honkhonk.com.
Come on down to Honk Honks. We've got the best of all deals in town.
We've got art supplies way better than Blink Skywhacker or whatever the fuck the joke was.
Yeah, you got it.
Did I get it in one?
Yeah, you did.
Yes, I'm remembering jokes all of a sudden.
Oh my God, you remembered things. Jeff, do you remember? How you doing?
I forget how I'm doing. Why, God? Why have you forsaken my ability to remember how I'm doing?
Guys, if you want to find out how Jeff is doing, join us in just a minute when we go to the bonus content.
Yeah, that's weekly once again, patreon.com/System Mastery. Or you can find us as System Mastery on Gmail, Facebook, Reddit, Twitter, all kinds of fun places. Real easy to just Google us up if you're trying to figure out where this came from. So, with all that in mind, I want to say thank you so much for listening to this horrible episode. We'll see you next week for Red Harvest. And until that time...
How you doing, Elan Sleaze Pagano?
I'm Elan Sleaze Pagano. And John, how you doing?
How you doing with Testix?